Church Covenant. We're going to start tonight. I don't know altogether what where we'll get to, but we're going to start. Church Covenant. Now, you ought to be familiar with it. It's up on the wall. You ought to be able to recite it. Shame on me, I guess, in one sense, the way I ran a revival several years ago. And I had a gentleman helping us. And I found myself reading the Church Covenant every other night. So I preached every other night, and every other night I was reading Church Covenant. And I thought to myself, I ought not be doing this, but this, it just got on me. And I come away that week with a better understanding of the Church Covenant. I really did. And there's some key things in it as well. This covenant, and it is a covenant. We call it the Church Covenant. Covenant ain't no good if people don't put it into force, I guess is what I'm saying. If we don't, there's a word in here, and I'm trying not to say it. I don't want to get on that word just yet, if I can help it. As it begins here, it says, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God in this assembly most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. It's the first paragraph. And it says in the beginning, it says, having been led. Now, this is what we believe. It says, as we believe by the Spirit of God. Having been led, we believe by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, I don't think there's much of a problem with that. And I'll say this, if there's a problem with the being led by the Spirit, then we got a problem. This covenant not gonna mean a whole lot to you. It's not really gonna be much binding as well. But now we teach this, we believe this. It says, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith. And you ought to pay attention to that. It's when we baptize people, we don't baptize them in my faith. It's upon the profession of their faith, your faith. That's how this thing works. And it says, our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God in this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. There's been some discussion on some of this, but I try within my power, if I've got them, I try to be sure that the candidates that's been baptized, that they know about this covenant and that they have a copy of this covenant. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, I normally charge the candidate off of this covenant and what it says. So this is a church covenant. It ought to mean something to you. As it says here, we most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant. Solemnly and joyfully enter into a covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We count ourselves as a body. Just like any other body that's got many members, it's just one body. And the church is a body. The church is, we call it the mother church. And and that's exactly what it is. Mother church. I'm just going to mind the Lord tonight. I started to do something. I wasn't going to do it. And I backed out of it and all this stuff. And I'm not going to. I'm just going to mind the Lord. For just a minute tonight. As we look at this covenant and this first few words says, having been led. You know, I think some folks just join the church because it's the thing to do. But that's really not what the covenant says. It says, having been led. Now, I understand how things work, and I understand we had three children when we was coming along. We was pastoring churches, and we had letters everywhere. My wife was a member of Union Grove Baptist Church for quite a while, and then we joined over at Dry Creek. Now, Dry Creek tried to get us to join membership when we first started pastoring there, and I told them I didn't have a problem with my letter being at Union Grove, and so I didn't move it until me and Kathy got talking, and we felt like we ought to join Dry Creek. Well, I joined Dry Creek with less than a month. I give them up. Yeah. And then I was gone elsewhere. And I was a member of Dry Creek. I'm just going to talk to you a minute before I get into one. But we was a member of Dry Creek for about 9 years. And the only time I got to go there was during when they had revivals, and I wasn't tied up and things of that nature. But nonetheless, that's where we was at. Candy got saved, our oldest daughter. She got saved here at Mountain View. And she was a member. She was baptized here. She is a member here at Mountain View. And our middle daughter, she got saved when we was pastoring down at Zion Hill. And she didn't join the church. She's for a little while. And about a year later, Josh got saved over at Oak Grove. We're still at Zion Hill at that time. Anyway, they wanted to join the church, so they joined. So we had letters at Dry Creek and Mountain View and Zion Hill. We was all scattered out. And I didn't really have a problem with that, just to be honest with you, until the Lord got to dealing with me. And he got to dealing with me about it. So when I went to Stoner's the first time, they done the same things at Dry Creek. You going to have to join up down here. And I said, well, I'll join when the Lord tells me. I ain't going to just join up with you. Well, you the pastor. I said, I understand that. I'll still be your pastor, but I'll join if the Lord tells me. And anyway, we got to working on us. We'd been there a couple of years. And I set the kids down, and I just asked them. I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I said, I'm going to ask you. I said, me and your mother's members over here in Candy's Mountain View, y'all down at Zion Hill. And have you given any thought or anything about moving your letter to Stoner's? And they all three just spoke up. Well, Daddy, we just been waiting on you. And I said, well, that's good enough. Good enough. So we joined down at Stoner's, and all our letters was down at Stoner's. Of course, they've got married, and they've went different ways since then. But it didn't become important to me to really move my letter until the Lord got to dealing with me. You know what I mean? And I'm going to be honest with you. It's in this covenant. It tells you about joining. If you leave this church, then you, as soon as possible, ought to move your letter to wherever you're going or something. If you're not going to abide by the church covenant. So there's some, a covenant is just that. It is a covenant. It's a binding. It's a binding agreement. And this here, in this first paragraph, says, enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. And I believe you'll find that in the scriptures, how that we're many members, but we're one body. Yeah. And we're the church. Now, this is a covenant, no doubt, of Mountain View Baptist Church. And you members, you're together. Come in together, a covenant. Rightfully so. There's a word that sticks out with me, and I may come back to this first paragraph, and I may not, but there's some things that needs to happen. As the scripture talks, and it says that we're the church, We're the body. He's the head. Jesus Christ being the head of the body. And it says, which is the church. So you're not, if you've been born again, then you're a member of the church. The church. And makes no difference, maybe how you look at it, you're still a member. And members of a body has functions. Don't they? They have something that they do. All members. Now to be a manly or a man, human, I'll get it right, complete, you'll have 10 fingers and 10 toes and 2 ears and 2 eyes and nose and a mouth. That's complete. It's considered complete. In humanity, it's considered complete. 10 is a complete number, even with the Lord. It is. Now, it might be carnal, natural, but nonetheless, it's still complete. You're not a complete body if you're missing some of your faculties. If you're missing some of your members, you're not complete. And even though you're not complete, you may think you lose a finger. Initially, it will affect you quite a bit because it has a function. But what will happen over time is that you'll learn how to operate without that member. It's what happens. And the truth of it is, the nerves, the brain and all that, how it works, you really don't know that it's missing. Because when you go to move it, you can move, but it ain't there. Do you understand that? You say, preacher, none of this has anything to do. Well, it has all to do with the body. Yeah. With the body, the church. If we're missing a member of the church, will we go on? Yeah. Some of the functions will carry on. But there's going to be some things missing. Yeah. Missing. You say, preacher, why is that? Because they're part of the body. If we're doing the covenant like it's supposed to be done, if it means what we say it means, then we're in covenant one with another. And if we're missing one, folks, you know it. You know it. I had an uncle, I'll tell this, I don't know, I might chase a rabbit or two here tonight, but you just bear with us. I had several uncles that was in the Army, and I had a couple of them that was in Vietnam. They went three different times to Vietnam. And I had an uncle, he finally got out and had one that he just stayed. He made a career out of it. The other one, he got out, he was in communications, and he landed him a job with AT&T and what have you. Well, he was supposed to go to work on Monday. He had been home about 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. And when he was in Vietnam, those 3 tours that he done over there, nothing. He come home just as whole, and wasn't shot, and wasn't missing limbs or anything like that. So he's going to start to work AT&T on Monday. Well, Friday night, he had a car accident. And it messed him up pretty good. Put him in the hospital, and he was out of it. he had hit the dash. It was a cut from here to there. And he was in the hospital bed, and he was just like this. He was up and down, up and down, up and down, continuous, continuous. They couldn't do nothing. They couldn't x-ray him. They couldn't calm him down. They couldn't get him. And he couldn't talk to you. And he went through that for about 5 weeks, night and day. I stayed with him a good bit. He was one of my favorites, I guess. But I stayed with him. Others had to work and different things. But anyway, I was there at the hospital. And about 5 weeks later, one day, he laid down. They just calm as he could be. And they took him down, they x-rayed him, and he had broke bones all over his body. And he still couldn't communicate too good. And when he first started communicating, they just said he hurt. He said, and they asked him where, and he said, all over. I hurt. Anyway, he come out, when he left the hospital, he come out in what they call a body cast. And he had a cast, and his arm was out like that, and they had braces and brace down here. And he was in a full cast. And they told him he'd never walk again. He had so many broke bones and what have you. Well, about a year, year and a half later, he got better. Now, you can say, Lord, don't do miracles and whatever, but Lord takes care of some things sometimes. Anyway, so he gets better. He gets up, he starts walking. Mind clear as a whistle. They put him in rehab, and he gets stronger and stronger. He goes to work down at a place called Union Carbide. They put him down there, and he's having to feed this machine down there. And one day he was feeding that machine, and his hand got hung with part of the material, and it pulled his hand in. It cut every one of his fingers off and tipped his thumb. Every one of them. So he goes through all that, and then he has to go through some more rehab and what have you. And he goes back to work. So he gets back to work, and been down there about 2 weeks. He's in a different division, and he gets over there, and one of them beams fall off and fell on his foot and cut all his toes off. Now, this ain't no fairy tale. This is a fact. I know it for a fact. So he goes through some more surgeries and more rehab and what have you. Lo and behold, believe it or not, he retired from Union Carbide. Had 30-something years. I said all that to say this. The body can adapt. It can adapt. It can adapt in many ways. It can overcome. You say, preacher, don't you think the Lord had a little bit of help to do anything? I think he had all to do with it, personally. But it still takes the body, my friend, wanting. Do you know that a lot of people die because they don't have a will to live?
Yeah.
They don't have a will to live. They don't want to live. Don't care. And when that happens, folks, your body realizes that. so I said all that to say this. We can miss members, and we will miss them. Now, my uncle, he could not. He couldn't grasp a lot of things. He had no fingers. Now, he could do it with the palm of his hand. He'd learned how to do things. And when he lost them toes, he couldn't walk very well again. Balance. You don't think it affects. It affects big time. But the body, I preached a message here just the other day, how that we need to come together. Together. And we need to be together. Because the body, my friend, realizes when it's missing something, but it will overcome. I worked with a gentleman that lost his arm. I was actually rubbing shoulders with him when he lost it. Pulled his arm off completely. Broke his bone right there, but his flesh come off up here. Hanging on a shaft was part of his arm. They took it with him. I worked with him for another 20 years. And I watched him, folks, overcome some things. Yeah, he got the prosthetic and all this. But he had to learn some things. He had to learn how to do some things. And he had to do so much with his left hand and arm. Had to use it so much that the muscles and some of the nerves messed up in it, and they had to go in and fix him because he had overdone it. But it's all he had. The body, we can get in terrible fixes, but with the Lord's help, we can continue. We can continue. We can overcome some odds. We can overcome some things. But the truth of it is, I talked to Ronnie. His name is Ronnie. I talked to him one day, and I said, Ronnie, I said, do you ever feel your fingers? He said, every day. Well, it's cut off up here. But as leaders, I ain't going to get into the gory part. It's not really that gory. You'd have think he'd have bled to death. You couldn't find a drop of blood. You couldn't find one. They wouldn't know. All them leaders and everything, they'll suck up. They will. They'll suck up. But I asked him, I said, and you feel them faint? He said, every day. He said, I'm moving right now. Couldn't see him move. Couldn't see him operate. But that's how they make the prosthetics work. Your nerves are still there. I just lay hold of your nerves. I said all that to say, you say, preacher, that's just too much. It might be, but the truth of it is, folks, the fingers and the thumbs and the toes are still there. What do we need? We need them to work. Yeah. We need them to move. We actually need each other. We do. A body, my friend, needs all of its faculties. And there's not one of them. There's not one of them that if you hurt it, the whole body knows it. You know, every bit of it. It knows it. So it behooves us as a body to want all the functioning factors in place. I believe if we're in covenant one with another. Now this paragraph says in this simile, most solemnly and joyfully. We solemnly and we joyfully enter into a covenant. enter into a covenant with one another as one body in Christ. There ought to be some joy. There ought to be some joy in just coming to the house of God just to see one another.
Amen.
Ought to be. If we're under the covenant, if we've been led as we believe by the Holy Spirit to go through these things, then we ought to at least, my friend, enjoy being a member of this body.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe the covenant, my friend, will cover that. Now I want to talk to you tonight for just a minute about one word. And this one word is in every paragraph that's left. This one word. And that word is engage. Engage. It says, we engage. Next paragraph says, we also engage. The next one says, we further engage. And the last one says, we moreover engage. Now, folks, if I know anything for anything, I want you to realize that this covenant is dead as a doornail. It's dead. It's nothing in it, my friend, if me and you don't engage. Engage. You know what engage is? All of us do. There's not anybody that don't know some form or something about engaged. You put a vehicle in gear. If it's a straight shift, it won't go. You can sit there and mash the gas all day long if you got the clutch pushed in. Do you know that? You'll go nowhere. You'll rev the engine. You'll get a lot of noise. But you'll go nowhere until you let that clutch out. You start letting that clutch out, my friend. You know what happens? It starts moving, don't it? One way or another, it starts moving. Why? Because those gears begin to engage. They engage. They're in there. They're in the transmission part. And brethren, if they know what's first shift and second and third and fourth, they know all that. But it ain't going to move one lick if you don't engage it. Put it in gear, let out the clutch, give her the gas. She'll go, won't she? She'll go on down the road. Now, there's something about this word engage that we all need to realize, my friend. It is not automatic. It is not. It won't happen unless you and I, brethren, put something in motion. It's got to get intertwined. It's got to get mixed together. Engaged. It's got a D on the end of it. I looked it up. There's another meaning, my friend, and it just done wonders for me, and I'll just be honest with you. And the word was braid. Braid. Y'all know what braid is, don't you? Braid, together, mixed together, entwined together, intermeddled together, intermixed together.
Brethren, if we don't get in a mix together, if we don't get things engaged, my friend, we're dead tonight.
Preacher, this is a covenant you don't need to preach. Brethren, this covenant will not work. It will not go forward without engaging tonight. That has to come from us. Yes, sir. That has to come from us. From us. The rest of this church covenant, you'll not read. You'll not read, or it'll not mean anything unto you without this word engaged. It don't mean nothing. It says we engage. Huh? We're going to get things moving. Things is going to happen. Brethren, and they happen because we engage them tonight. We put them in force. We put them to work. Do you know, number one, you say, preacher, you already said engage was it. Engage was what? Number one, as we believe, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God. Brother, you take the Spirit of God out of it, there'll be no engagement. They will not. There'll be no movement. We go back to what I said a while ago, we'll be dead. We're dead without the Spirit tonight. Yes, we are. Preacher, this is just a covenant. It's what's the matter with most folks. It's just a covenant. Amen. On the wall. Hadn't been took down since I've been here. Has it? Preacher, we read it. We just don't understand it. Well, what's not to understand? Number one, you're going to have to move. You're going to have to get something to moving in your life about the church covenant. If you don't, my friend, you ain't going to be much. You know that? You ain't going to be much. Now, I ain't gonna get into the rest of these paragraphs tonight. No, I'm not. I want you to think about. And when you read it, you see what that word engage means. See what it means to the paragraph. What does it mean? Huh? It's not gonna do anything by itself. Do you know why? You know why a lot of folks, my friend, have what we call followers? They go back to the old cliche, my friend. They try to get involvement out of people. They try to get people involved. Involved. And there's a lot of folks moving in that way. And they calling themselves a church. But I'm going to say this, and I want you to understand this, and this covenant, my friend, will teach you this if you'll study it. You cannot make a covenant work without the number one ingredient, which is the Holy Ghost. It won't work. It will not. It won't stand by itself. It's just words. You say, preacher, it don't mean that much. It should. Did you know that if we put this thing to work like it should, my friend, it means something. It means something to us. So, I'm going to reread this first paragraph tonight. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God in this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. As one body in Christ. Now, I'm bad on little words, and the truth of it is, without a lot of these little words, it changes the meaning. But as one body in Christ. Do you know the reason a lot of folks just don't make it? It's because they do not recognize one another as brother and sister. It's I and you. You and me. When we recognize our brethren and our sisters as the body, things change. Now, in our association, we've got a rule in our association. The Coosawatte Baptist Association. We've got a rule in it. And it says when you're addressing one another that you use the appellation of brother. Well, preacher, that's crazy. It's a rule. It's a rule. Not too crazy. Anybody got anything you need to say or do or leave with us? You say, preacher, is that as far as I'm going tonight? A lot of good things in this covenant. I have never failed. Never failed to charge a new candidate with that of this covenant. But what I didn't have somebody, most of the time, more somebodies throughout the church that come to me at the end and said, well, I never had looked at it like that. Huh? And you know what? They got it just like you do.